My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Gene D on the Fan. No Grant Paulson, just me and Annie Ruye. I think Grant's coming back tomorrow. He might just still be at that barbecue joint in Dallas tomorrow. He might just sleep there. Get a sleeping bag and post up and try something else on the menu. I want to remind you guys, as the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you and your helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you to score yourself a great discount. That is kmlawyers.com. You heard it. Beltway Blitz time. Spin you around. What's going on with all the different teams that have things going on? Day after the All-Star game, not as busy. It's a nice time to kind of pull up and take a big picture look. We'll start on the diamond. Pete Meadows joins us to talk some Nationals here on the Beltway Blitz. Pete, they are 9 games under, right around a 74-win pace, kind of, you know, long ahead of their projected win total before the season started. Just big picture, take it wherever you want. What grade would you give the Nationals here in the unofficial first half?
Danny, based on expectations and what they achieved, I'm willing to go B minus. Sure, you want to win every game, and I know Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo were two of the most competitive SOBs on planet Earth, but I think based on the roster they had coming in, the question marks surrounding it, certainly with what happened with the pitching and where it's taken them, I would say based under the circumstances, B-minus is a fair grade for what's been accomplished so far here during the first half of the season.
What do you want to see the next month or so from James Wood?
Like anybody, I just want to see consistency. Obviously, went 8 for 25 right out of the gate. Now everybody's going to have better scouting reports on him. They're going to see what has been successful. I mean, he saw a ton of breaking stuff, Danny. Yeah. I mean, you know that. I mean, as a great hitter yourself, you're going to see a bunch of breaking stuff after you start clobbering fastballs and with the success that he's had doing that. The question now is, does he make the adjustment? And I think sometimes, you know, just like Juan Soto, James Wood has an incredibly patient eye at the plate. Is it in search of the perfect pitch, or is that true professional patience that we're seeing from him that probably only a select eighth of batters in the game of baseball have? And I think we'll see more of that in the second half, and we'll find out what the truth is really behind it. Is it really great patience against major league pitching now? Or is it just the guy that's in search of that perfect pitch? And you know, sometimes there's a risk with that. Sometimes you never get that pitch and you end up getting yourself out on a pitcher's pitch. So I'm looking for that kind of consistency from the big fella here in the second half.
Jake Irvin's last couple starts, Pete, were you know, struggles for him. Not particularly good. I think 12 earned runs over his final 10 innings before the All-Star break. Overall, though, we turned in a pretty damn good report card. There, again, the unofficial first half. I think that's regression. I think that's bound to happen. But anything out of those last couple starts kind of concern you at all with maybe the way folks were squaring him up in a way they hadn't really for most of this season?
Well, I think sometimes pitchers just miss and you miss your location. And I think he was a little bit of a victim of that. And, you know, again, we go back to what was expected from those young guys, guys like Parker, guys like Irvin. Could never have imagined you'd get the run of success from them that you got. But again, just like we talk about with James Wood as a hitter, the more you pitch, the more book other teams get on you. So now there's an adjustment period in the second half for all those young guys. You know, when DJ Hurz comes back, obviously that was more of a procedural move there right before the All-Star break. I'm sure we'll see the lefty back up here. But for all of them, the challenge of making the adjustments that they have to make, again, at the big league level, because you can get away with things at AAA and at AA that you can't get away with here at the big league level. So we'll see if those young arms now can make the adjustment and prove that they're consistent and the guys that are ready to be here on a full-time basis and be the core of that rotation going forward.
So, Pete, I don't think you and I have talked about this, but my general philosophy on trade deadline, if you're not a – and that's not what the Nationals are right now. They're not a – hey, we're trying to make the postseason. And if they did, that'd be fun. But this is really about building a great team for the fairly near future. I'd be pretty cutthroat in terms of spinning guys that aren't really part of my 2, 3, 4, 5-year plan down the line. How would you approach this trade deadline? Is it kind of a balance maybe if the right deal comes along, a.k.a. like a Hunter Harvey this past weekend? Or are you more towards my school of if they ain't bolted down, we're selling?
I don't know if Mike is telling these general managers that, hey, I'll send you an extra check in your Christmas card when we make this deal. But Mike doesn't lose many.
No.
And look at, again, you know, the kid they drafted at 39, Lama Vita's got to turn out to be what we think he can be. But turning him into those two potential prospects, it looks like a stroke of genius. It only makes me wonder what general managers are now going to have to call and offer for the services of a Kyle Finnegan going forward, somebody like that. So, look, if he gets wowed, if he gets a prospect that he's not supposed to get, someone that he and his scouting staff feel is going to be a surefire, can't-miss big leaguer at some point, he's certainly going to listen, and he's certainly going to go around the room talking to his staff going, hey, what do you think of this deal? Does this make us better long-term looking to make it? And I think you're right. I think you look at the 2, 3, 4-year plan. If someone's going to get you someone in return that nets you consistent long-term success, just like he did with Juan Soto, you have to at least consider it, because in the best interest of the ball club over a 10-year period might be better in the best interest in the club over a 1-year period. And I think that's the fascinating poker game that he and his staff now will play over the next 2 weeks.
Pete, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Appreciate it, Danny. Thank you.
See you, my pal. There he goes. Hit that Wizard sounder. We'll get to some Wizards, I promise. But Dave Johnson is with us. Dave, a sincere and heartfelt congratulations, my friend. DC Sports Hall of Fame, class of 2024, game against the Cincinnati Reds, July 21st coming up here. You're going to be inducted along with several other members. It is awesome, and again, as I said, well-deserved, man. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. And again, just some wonderful people in that class. I read the press release. I'm like, wait a minute, you sure you got the right Dave Johnson? I mean, is it Ryan Zimmerman, Vicky Bullard, and, of course, Eddie Pope, who I know so well from D.C. United. So the list goes on. But, look, I've been blessed beyond belief over 30 years to be connected with sports fans in D.C. I grew up as a diplomat soccer fan. I grew up as a Bullets fan, and I grew up listening to WTOP, and all three have been a big part of my life, and the Wizards and DC United continue to be a big part of my life, and all of you, and I, again, my sincere thanks, because I'm truly humbled.
So one more on that, and I promise I'll ask you some regular basketball questions. I know you don't like attention in this way, but deal with it, man. You get a cool award like this. It's neat. You're going to get celebrated. Is there something that you go look back on in your career? Because as you said, 30 years of doing this is pretty remarkable, my friend, at a very high level. Is there something you look back on and go, I can't believe I got to do that?
Well, the whole run, and I know that sounds like I'm not answering the question specifically, but again, I said this, I did this broadcasting thing when I was a kid, just trying to entertain my mom who was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. It was a difficult time. I lost her when I was 15. I'm not bringing out violins. I'm just saying I think it's a lesson that if you have support, and then you get some belief, in yourself and keep believing. And that doesn't mean you're going to have, not have doubts. I have a game tonight. I have a lot of doubts. I mean, so can I still entertain the folks? But that's the part that's special to me is from where I once was, this whole journey is, wow, can't believe this.
No, I love it, man. I really appreciate it. Do far more trivial matters, buddy. Wizard Summer League is happening. I started the show by saying, I look at everything that Alex Starr did on the court last night. Goes 0 for 15. That's going to be the headline. You know, your Jim Rome sports minutes or a couple, you know, Stephen A. Smith might yell about it or call him a bust or this, that, and the other, and that's fine. I'm not concerned. I watched a competitive kid, good floor game, still athletic, still getting rebounds, couple of assists, blocking some shots going up against Donovan Clingan. I think he's a work in progress on offense. I thought that before the game. I think that now I'm far more patient with somebody like that than I would be with a guy that played in college for 3 years that struggled in a similar way. So I'm not really concerned at this point. Give me your thoughts on Sarr last night.
Well, there's no need to be concerned because, if we said, all right, we're picking up this player so we can win the NBA title this year or advance deep in the playoffs this year, then people would say, oh, well, wait a minute, what happened? But no, that's not why, again, you look at his age, you look at where he starts to develop, but what you look at, the offense, I truly believe, will come on a consistent basis. But, you know, I think about the game against the Rockets. A couple blocks in that game. The block shots, the defense. And look, the numbers – nobody references or that I'm aware of, I don't remember, you know, when we go back and say, you know, in summer league,
right.
I guess you can say so-and-so average, whatever, but what does it really mean? So it's what the eye test is telling you. And the eye test is telling you, no, he's not a finished product on offense, but I don't think the Wizards coaches are saying, wow, we expect him to average 30 a game against this competition, because that's the thing also about, as you watch all these players perform, it's a playoff game every night. And I know that sounds silly. It's a summer league, but these are guys that are spitting fire for an NBA job, to latch on with the team they're with, to be invited to another training camp. So it's intense. It is really intense.
David, as you mentioned, it is summer league. No, you know, it's the same folly that people go, you know, in spring training, this guy hit blankety blank, right? I mean, we've seen that a million times. I will tell you this, though. It's hard for me to keep – it's like you ever boil water and then put the top of the pot on and it starts simmering a little bit and it starts bouncing and you hear that sound from the other room when the bubbles start coming? That's
right.
Me on Bob Carrington.
Yeah.
I think I've fallen in love, Dave.
Well, no, and the flip side, you know, we're not going to walk into Las Vegas saying, wow, you know, he's made it. And, boy, his – but you know what? Again, to just what I talked about, he's coming in and saying, all right, you know, I've got the confidence. I've got the bravado to score 20 points, to score 19 points and to put up these numbers. And right out of the gate, and, you know, he almost tied the game last night. So
yeah, it was amazing.
You know, it's just, you like that bravado. He does. you look for guys that look maybe a little bit, you know, lost, or maybe the moment's too big for him. No, he's, you know, he's seizing the moment. And guess what? The most consistent player, and who knows what his, you know, future will be for the Wizards, but so far in summer league has probably been Justin Champagne. But that's no surprise, because we, you know, we watched him last year, and he's played in the NBA, by the way, and, you know, we've said, look, he's an NBA player. Is that with the Wizards or whatever team? That still needs to be determined, but it shouldn't be a surprise. It's not a surprise to me that somebody that has some NBA experience is the most consistent player in summer league. But, you know, Bob Carrington, and come on, I can hear Sam, I can hear Sam Cassell, you know, Baltimore, Sam Cassell, like you would hear him smile. You know, it's Baltimore basketball coming out, so there's a little pride there.
Dave, congrats again, man. Really appreciate the time, and it's going to be cool watching you get inducted this weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Well, I always appreciate the time. Look, it's all about community and connection. This sports community is my community. I appreciate every connection. Thank you.
Very cool, my friend. Be well. There he goes. That is Dave Johnson. As Bruce Allen once said, there goes a Hall of Famer. Hit the local 53 sounder, please. Scott Abraham joins us to talk about the local 53. Scott, rookies report tomorrow. First of all, can you even believe it? Second of all, what's the thing you're most excited to see?
Yeah, let's get this thing going, Danny. 1 week, officially 1 week from today, will be the first training camp practice in Ashburn. Obviously, the rookies get there a little early, get things going, and then the veterans report on Tuesday, and then practice gets going 1 week from today on Wednesday. And you know what? I'm just excited to see Jaden Daniels. That's going to be the big storyline. How will he grow? How will he develop over the course of this month to get ready for the regular season? You know, practice, glorified walkthroughs. Okay, I want to see when really the bullets start flying, per se, when you put the pads on, you have joint practices, you have these preseason games. And yes, Joe Theismann, he better play in some preseason games because he needs it. So that's what I'm excited about.
So I was going to ask you about the preseason. How would you handle it if you are now Scott Quinn? You're in charge. How are you handling the preseason for Jaden Daniels?
I mean, I want reps. I want him to, you know, you can't put him in, you know, tissue paper and just be like, good luck, kid. We're going to baby you in a sense. No, he needs to get a feel for the speed of the NFL game, and he has to develop that timing and rapport and connection with the offensive line and his wide receivers in this backfield. I want to see him in game action. Give me a quarter. Give me maybe a first half in the second preseason game. Call it a day in the third preseason game. So I want to see Jaden Daniels on that field, first preseason game and the second preseason game.
Other rookies that you're excited about, guys, yep, that you really want to see or are curious about, like whether excited may not be the right word, Scott, but where you're going, man, if this guy is blank, this could be something. Yep.
So I've said it all along. I think the X factor potentially could be Brandon Coleman. That's the left tackle they drafted out of TCU, right? That's the big hole. That's the big question right now Commanders fans have and media members that report on the team on a daily basis. What are they going to do with left tackle? Okay, will they solve all their worries with this Brandon Coleman? Is he going to be a project? How raw is he going to be? Does he have all the skill set to be that left tackle in the NFL? We're going to find out in the preseason. And if he hits, Danny, that's a whole different element, a whole different ball game for this draft class, because I'm pretty confident Jane's going to do his thing. I'm pretty confident Johnny Newton is going to do his thing. I think Sanders still is going to be electric. I think Luke McCaffrey could be special in the slot. And if Brandon Coleman hits, this could be maybe a franchise changer, because if they find their left tackle of the future, that's a beautiful thing.
Last one for you here, buddy. So last year, let's just call it, for you know, it depends on the metric, depends on what you're looking at stat-wise, but the defense was basically the 30th, 31st, or 32nd in the NFL, right? Let's say they were 32nd last in the league last year, this defense. A grave disappointment to everybody, multiple coaches fired, et cetera. When you and I talk on July, whatever today's date is, 17th next year, and we're talking about this year's defense, where will they have been ranked? If last year was 32, what's their ranking going to be this coming year?
Danny, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I have a lot of confidence in Dan Quinn. I have a lot of confidence in Joe Witt Jr. because the track record, the resume speak for itself. Look what Dan Quinn has done on defense everywhere he goes. Seattle, Atlanta, Dallas, all been successful. All have been very good at taking away the football. If they're bottom of the barrel right now, ranked 32nd, by the end of the year, I think they're going to shoot up to a top 15 defense. I have that much confidence in the coaching. I think they're going to get the most out of their defensive players, and it's going to be a completely different defense. Give me a top 15 defense by the end of the year.
Wow, love it. Scott, appreciate you, dude. Have a good one.
Yep, take care.
See you, my friend. There he goes. By the way, if that happens, they're probably a playoff team, right? If they're a top 15 unit, I would argue that's very likely that this is a playoff team. That's a 9-win, maybe even a 10-win situation if that group's that good. I'm not counting on that big a leap, but that would be intriguing. Maybe something to put a pin in as we go forward here with our discussions. I got some audio. Darius pulled it. It's from an HBO television program last night. So the episode airs, HBO Offseason Hard Knocks. Okay. Good episode. Normal stuff. Free agency, some of the ins and outs, some of the what have yous. A lot of strands in the dude's head. Very good. Then when they're doing the tease for next week, somebody said something, and then someone else said something, and it's about us. I'll explain, you'll hear it, and you'll understand why I got the tingles. That's next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So it's always flattering, I think, and I mean this, when somebody tweets, that's the J.P. Finlay pronunciation, tweet to the layperson, he's elevated it. It's more refined to say tweets. So, for example, 2012, Twitter tweeted 12 times. Like, that's the elevated, refined way of saying it. That's how the aristocrats say it, right? The rest of us peasants down here have to say Twitter.
Tweet.
Thank you, J.P. At Funny Danny, for me.
2022.
That was a year. What have you tweeted in 2022?
Tweet
12. I can't think of other TW words right now. Anyway, District of Commanders tweeted Grant and I. And he's like, hey, I'm at Sweetwater Tavern. What do I get? This is such a nice thing that you would think of us and ask me. Like, you go to Hill Country. What should I get? I'll help you. I'm here. But one part of this, I'm going to ask, this is a favor to everybody. And I'm not calling out the Twitter user here. I need to know about the rest of your day if I'm going to give you a good recommendation. And here's what I mean. Do you have to go back to the office? Do you have work to do? Do you need to function? That's going to change my recommendation. You follow me? If you're at Sweetwater Tavern and you got nothing else planned for the rest of the day, the kids are taken care of or whatever, I got an appy for you. It's probably going to be the crab fritters. Maybe it's the calamari. Maybe it's the crab and corn chowder. Okay? Or you could go straight up Tex-Mex egg rolls and have a little, that lower right side of your stomach now is occupied. That's a fried appy. Okay? Skip the salad section. Skip the salad section. I'm sure the salads are great. I'll never find out. All right? Then you go. You could skip the sandwiches too. If you don't have anything else to do today, their sammies are good. But you got to go further on down. Can I interest you in some Louisiana pasta? Maybe the steak tip pasta. Excellent. You want to go full bore? Let's go Bob Senley and ribs this thing. Send them. Double in the gap. Runner on first. Running with the pitch. I need you there. Get on home. You're the winning run. You're going to need to relax for a little while afterwards. But that's what I got for you. But again, I love that. You come to us. Something else I love happened last night. And it was kind of an ambush. I didn't know this was coming. Because I hadn't seen the Twitterverse. I'm watching the All-Star game. Then I watched The Acolyte last night. Then after all that, I used all my HBO passwords, and I don't know if it's Go or Max or Max Go or Cinemax or, well, I don't know what it is I have anymore. I have HBO through cable, so I can't like share anything with anybody, but somehow this works. Whatever. Point of the dude story is this. So then I watched Offseason Hard Knocks, right? Figuring maybe let's mine for some content. Let's see what's going on. At the end of the episode, where they're like, next week, on Lib Schreiber narrates this thing. There was a curious little bit of audio. They did free agency. And then they're talking about the draft. And will you listen to what the voices you're about to hear are Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Listen to what they said.
Daniels. Have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
Play it again.
Daniels. Have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
Britney Spears, I believe, sang it best when she said, and I quote, hit me, baby, one more time.
Daniels, have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback. I tell you, I don't know what that means. It doesn't make him complete a pass or not in October. It doesn't mean that they win more games or lose more games now because of it. I'll tell you this. I'll be damned if I didn't get the tinglys from that one. That fire you up a little bit? That make you excited? If it didn't move the needle at all for you, fine. I get that. But are you like me and you're always looking for that little extra bit of validation? Don't you want to know that the other teams are going, damn, I wish we had that guy. Not, can you believe they just gave him that? Or can you believe they took him? Now, it's one team. It's one team, frankly, that's been right down at the bottom of the division with us for a while. I don't know how smart this group is. I mean, the way they talk about free agents, where they're like, yeah, Pat Mahomes was struggling behind that offensive line. I bet you Mahomes would have been okay. I bet you would have been. Bet you would have been there, Mr. Joe, Shane. Your name, last name spelled weird, by the way. Should be Shone. Shoeen. Shane is tough with S-C-H-O-E-N. Shane? Come on. Is it? Is it, though? Is it? Whatever. I got to tell you, that fired me up. Now, is it stupid that it fired me up? Probably. Because, again, it doesn't really mean anything. But I have to tell you, knowing that somebody else would have done that if they could have, knowing that another team or multiple teams or however many, had they been in our shoes, would have done the same thing, that feels validating. That's a comfort to me. Because you know this feeling as a Washington fan. How many times have you been watching the draft? First thing that happens is they cut to commercial right before Washington picks. You know it? I know it. Everyone knows it, okay? Certain years they can't. Like this year they couldn't. In all sports, for the record.
By the way, yeah, that just happened in the MLB draft.
Yeah.
They went to commercial. They did 9 straight picks. They got to pick 10, and they went to commercial right before the Nats. Unbelievable.
Yep. It is a thing. Sorry we're not New York. Sorry we're not Boston. Sorry. Just a huge media market. People care. Anyway. So normally the course of events is when they're picking at, say, 16 or 17, you're watching ESPN. Let's see what they do here. With the 17th pick, Washington selects. Let's go to Mel. Obviously, a bit of a reach here. Would have been available end of round one, potentially round two. He's a player that they didn't have to draft right now. They liked him more than everybody else. Boom. So we'll go back to you. And they're never right. Now, when New England did it, not recently, of course, because their drafts have been terrible. But when New England did it years ago, smart. When Philly does it, smart. When Green Bay does it, smart. When all the good teams that do it get benefit of the doubt because they've earned that. When the smart teams do smart things, the Ravens do something outside the box that's unconventional, you go, I bet you they'll find something to do with that guy. When we do it, it's Jamin Davis. No. So I'm telling you, I'm scarred from that. So now as a fan, when I'm watching and you get the little bit of nugget of X number of teams tried to trade up. They told him no. Offers weren't good enough. They took Daniels. The Giants literally in a meeting are saying, is he worth trading up for? Yes. It also dispels this small, dark corner of social media that Darius was telling me about. Darius still wades into these waters way more than I do. But apparently there was this like really, like you know on Dagobah, where Yoda hangs out.
Filled with the dark side, that cave is.
Right? Where he has Luke go in there.
Your weapons. You will not need them.
You know when he goes in and then it's Darth Vader, then he cuts his son off and then it's him and it's like the whole thing's weird. Look, dark side energy. That's what this corner of Twitter was. It's this very dark side type place. Where that, 11-second clip from the previous week where Dable's trying to trip up Jaden Daniels, is at the whiteboard and says F instead of X, the first time he's ever heard the play call, or something. I don't know. What to me, it looked fine. It looked like a quarterback and a coach going back and forth. Where somebody's like, see, told you he couldn't, he can't handle the whiteboard. Can't handle like the advanced stuff. Then what he ran in LSU? Super simple. It's not going to work in the NFL, I'm telling you. Nope. He can't do it. That stupid thing that was out there, I didn't even see it. But we basically have Darius as our boots on the ground in the dark places of Twitter, the evil, slime sludge filled corners of malevolence. Darius checks it out with the miner's light on and then pulls the rope a couple times and we reel him back up. He was telling me about it. So it dispels that, doesn't it? Giants were sufficiently impressed. Play it one more time for me, Darius. Joe Shane's the first voice. Brian Dable's the second.
Daniels, have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
Daniels, yeah, I would. Daniels, yeah, I would. Keep in mind, they've got stupid, dumb-faced Daniel Jones. They've got quarterback that's only good against Washington, Daniel Jones. Well, I know stinks. They kind of know it, too, by the way. They just openly flirt with the idea of a different quarterback, and then they're like, if we can't upgrade, we'll go with Daniel. That's a ringing endorsement, by the way, if you're Daniel Jones. I'm sure you're watching that with all sorts of excitement for the upcoming season. If we can't do any better, we're going to roll with Daniel Jones. Go get him, kid. Anyway, did that excite you? Does that validate some things? Does that assuage some of your concerns? Is that a little drop in the positive bucket right there? It was for me. I'll tell you that, I was excited about that. That got me going. I watched that last night at probably like 1 a.m. because I got back late, was playing pickup, was watching the All-Star game, went through all the different programs I had to watch. That was the last one before I went to bed. And I'm sitting there doing finger guns up in the air, doing my pew, 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 pew kind of deal. Doing Frank the Tank after coming home from a funeral type deal. Now, I conflated those. Frank the Tank didn't go to the funeral. That's two different movies. It's Chaz Reinhold, who's the genius, okay? But still. That make you excited at all? 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Matt Bonesteel, The Washington Post, joins us at 5. Plus, we got a chance to win Fuji's tickets for you guys at 525. We're going to play Does Ryan Know It? But your call's next at 800-636-1067. You heard that audio. The Giants wanted to trade up for Jaden Daniels. How's that make you feel? Good questions brewing for Does Ryan Know It? He's going to know some of them. It's going to be your job to figure out which ones for your chance to win Fuji's tickets. We'll also be joined in about 12 minutes by Matt Bonesteel, The Washington Post. Under the radar story that I've kind of picked at a couple different times over the years is how sports gambling has been a boon for almost everywhere. The reason it's not everywhere is Washington, D.C. And I want to ask him about that. And there was a pause this week where they were waiting for something to pass and FanDuel ceased operations, and now apparently they're back. I want to get to the bottom of what's going on, and Matt Bonesteel's been very much on top of it for the Post. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. But last night, if you're just tuning in, the audio, she was good. The audio, she was a good. It was the end of the Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Football Giants episode. They're previewing next week. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, little banter right before the draft. Here's what they said.
Daniels, have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
That excite you a little bit? Get the juices flowing? I loved that. That's validating to me. That's not one of those, well, that's their problem now. Well, they took him. We wouldn't have done that. It's one team. There are 30 others who may or may not feel the same way. I have no idea. But I like that a lot. I don't know why that was as exciting to me as it was, but it felt good just to hear it. Raymond, Bethesda, did you get a little excited hearing that?
Yeah, Dan. Hey, listen, I appreciate your show. It really makes my afternoon commute so much more bearable.
That is the idea, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I do like that. The fact that another team thought highly that they would have moved heaven and earth to try to get him. But until I see him actually, in preseason and attempting some passes and see the real deal, I'm going to curb my enthusiasm. But like I said, I think he's got all the tools to be a really elite quarterback. Other teams have gone down that road before, and, it hasn't panned out. Not to say that it's not going to pan out.
No, I get what you mean, Raymond. I'm with you. Appreciate the phone call, buddy, and the kind words as well. I led with this saying it, that didn't complete a pass. That didn't read the defense and freeze the safety with his eyes and, throw a back shoulder fade to Terry McLaurin. None of that stuff happened. I'm fully aware that doesn't translate to anything. It's just the pattern here has been the team, the organization, thinks they're smarter than everybody else. They like the guy, and nobody else would have taken him there. And the industry, everybody else was right, and we're left with Emmanuel Forbes. Or Jamin Davis, or somebody else they took too early. Drew in Stafford, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bro.
Yeah, I was wanted to say that I'm hearing from the Giants that they would have taken Daniels. I think they would have taken anybody over Daniel Jones. And that didn't really move the needle. What does move the needle, though, is that rookies are reporting to training camp. And I've been watching the quarterback series on Netflix, just watching that. We got Marcus Mariota as our backup, which I really like that this isn't like an RG3 Kirk Cousins situation with drafting a quarterback high. This is, you got a veteran there. We got a rookie that we took at second overall pick. He's going to be our starter eventually. And we're not on Hard Knocks, but I like that we've got potential to do some things this year. And the Giants, who look like they're going to be a garbage can fire, that they're the ones that are going to be on there, and we're just going to concentrate, get to business, and go win some games this year.
Love it, buddy. Appreciate you. So I can understand. I offered that context as well. This isn't, I don't know, pick your team that's always good. This isn't Pittsburgh, or it's not Baltimore doing this. It's not Cincinnati. It's not the Chiefs. That would carry more weight, probably. Not that the Chiefs would say, yeah, let's trade up for a quarterback. Can you imagine if they did, by the way? Imagine if Kansas City traded up the number two to take Jaden Daniels with Pat Mahomes in tow. Yeah, like, obviously, I didn't love that. That move was a bit confusing to me. And, you know, I talked to Coach Reed and Trav, and I guess we're all on board or trying to win games. But that was kind of a curious move. Can you imagine? JaVale Culpepper, did the Giants having the steamies for Jaden Daniels get you excited a little bit?
Hey, Danny, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Good. I like that. It was encouraging. It was nice seeing that another team, especially in your division, was interested in your selection, especially at the quarterback position. But Grant, Danny, my question to you is, you know, I've heard a lot of vitriol when it comes to the Giants in the decision between Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And my question to you is, why? If you look at Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence in their first 50 starts, they're almost identical to one another, like almost identical. And actually, Daniel Jones is even leading in some statistical categories even more than Trevor Lawrence. They're both first-round selections, even though Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick. And if you look at the skill position players that Daniel Jones has had compared
been good.
To Trevor Lawrence,
yeah.
I don't believe, other than Saquon Barkley, I don't think there's anybody else on that Giants offense that would have started on the Jaguars offense.
I certainly agree with that. I mean, the Jaguars, they've tried, at least, to surround Lawrence with weaponry, be it Calvin Ridley, be it Christian Kirk they overpaid for. I mean, they've done everything they possibly could, whereas the Giants either didn't care or I don't know what they were doing each time. So I'll respectfully disagree. I mean, there's the one season that Jones turned in where he had 24 touchdowns and 12 picks as a rookie. That's the good season. That's a deceptive season. I can't remember the exact number, but quite literally, it's like 40% of his touchdowns came in two games. One of them was against Washington. One was against, I think, like a 1-17 Detroit team or something like that. But overall, he doesn't pass the eye test to me as a passer. Doesn't pass the eye test as anybody that's any good. Now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, JaVale, because you know how I feel in general about surrounding young quarterbacks with all the weaponry they can handle and then some. Overkill should be the minimum. And the Giants have done the opposite. They've done a terrible job. I just know because I see him play not against Washington. Against Washington, Hall of Famer. Not even joking. His career numbers against Washington are stupid. In fact, I'm going to pull him up. You're going to have to give me a second while I get here on Pro Football Focus, reference rather, and get into his career numbers against Washington. Here they are. Ready? He is, I believe, 5-1 as a quarterback, even though QB wins and losses are wrong. We know that. 70% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns over those five games. Add in some rushing yards, too. He has been a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback against Washington. A pile of garbage against almost every other team. Quite literally. He's been okay against Philadelphia, bad against Dallas, and pretty much bad against everybody else over the course of his career. I'm not even kidding you. Go look at him. In two games against the Rams, 55% completion percentage, 4 interceptions, no touchdowns. In a handful of games against, I'll just pick another team at random, the Cardinals. 63% completion percentage, 2 picks, 2 touchdowns. You know, it's that. Trevor Lawrence, and by the way, I've asked a question about Trevor Lawrence. I know I'm late here. I got we got other stuff to do. But I've asked the question about Trevor Lawrence. Like, are we sure? Are we sure that he's great? I'm not. He's turned in 2 very pedestrian seasons. One I give kind of a pass to. That was the Urban Meyer Shebangas, where there wasn't much there. But we really, if we're judging it fairly, I see your point. One really good season for Lawrence, and the other pretty pedestrian with more. So if the question is Trevor Lawrence really that good? That's something that I've asked, and I think is fair. Matt Bonesteel of the Washington Post is coming up here in about 5 minutes. Stay with us. Plus, we got your chance to win Fuji's tickets at 5:25. We're going to play a little Does Ryan Know It? Stay with us here on The Fan. Good questions brewing for Does Ryan Know It? He's going to know some of them. It's going to be your job to figure out which ones for your chance to win Fuji's tickets. We'll also be joined in about 12 minutes by Matt Bonesteel, The Washington Post. Under the radar story that I've kind of picked at a couple different times over the years is how sports gambling has been a boon for almost everywhere. The reason it's not everywhere is Washington, D.C. And I want to ask him about that. And there was a pause this week where they were waiting for something to pass and FanDuel ceased operations, and now apparently they're back. I want to get to the bottom of what's going on, and Matt Bonesteel's been very much on top of it for the Post. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. But last night, if you're just tuning in, the audio, she was good. The audio, she was a good. It was the end of the Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Football Giants episode. They're previewing next week. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, little banter right before the draft. Here's what they said.
Daniels, have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
That excite you a little bit? Get the juices flowing? I loved that. That's validating to me. That's not one of those, well, that's their problem now. Well, they took him. We wouldn't have done that. It's one team. There are 30 others who may or may not feel the same way. I have no idea. But I like that a lot. I don't know why that was as exciting to me as it was, but it felt good just to hear it. Raymond, Bethesda, did you get a little excited hearing that?
Yeah, Dan. Hey, listen, I appreciate your show, and it really makes my afternoon commute so much more bearable.
That is the idea, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I do like that. The fact that another team thought highly that they would have moved heaven and earth to try to get him. But until I see, you know, him actually, you know, in preseason and attempting some passes and see the real deal, I'm going to curb my enthusiasm. But like I said, I think he's got all the tools to be a really elite quarterback. But, you know, other teams have gone down that road before, and, you know, it hasn't panned out. Not to say that it's not going to pan out.
No, I get what you mean, Raymond. I'm with you. Appreciate the phone call, buddy, and the kind words as well. I led with this saying, that didn't complete a pass. That didn't read the defense and freeze the safety with his eyes and, you know, throw a back shoulder fade to Terry McLaurin. None of that stuff happened. I'm fully aware that doesn't translate to anything. It's just the pattern here has been the team, the organization, thinks they're smarter than everybody else. They like the guy, and nobody else would have taken him there. And the industry, everybody else was right, and we're left with Emmanuel Forbes or Jamin Davis, or somebody else they took too early. Drew in Stafford, what's up, man? You're on The Fan.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bro.
Wanted to say that I'm hearing from the Giants that they would have taken Daniels. I think they would have taken anybody over Daniel Jones. And that didn't really move the needle. What does move the needle, though, is that rookies are reporting to training camp. And I've been watching the quarterback series on Netflix, just watching that. We got Marcus Mariota as our backup, which I really like that this isn't like an RG3 Kirk Cousins situation with drafting a quarterback high. This is, you got a veteran there. We got a rookie that we took at second overall pick. He's going to be our starter eventually. And we're not on Hard Knocks, but I like that we've got potential to do some things this year. And the Giants, who look like they're going to be a garbage can fire, that they're the ones that are going to be on there. And we're just going to concentrate, get to business, and go win some games this year.
Love it, buddy. Appreciate you. So I can understand. I offered that context as well. This isn't, I don't know, pick your team that's always good. This isn't Pittsburgh, or it's not Baltimore doing this. It's not Cincinnati. It's not the Chiefs. That would carry more weight, probably. Not that the Chiefs would say, yeah, let's trade up for a quarterback. Can you imagine if they did, by the way? Imagine if Kansas City traded up the number two to take Jaden Daniels with Pat Mahomes in tow. Yeah, like, obviously I didn't love that. That move was a bit confusing to me. And, you know, I talked to Coach Reed and Trav, and I guess we're all on board or trying to win games. But that was kind of a curious move. You imagine? JaVale Culpepper, did the Giants having the steamies for Jaden Daniels get you excited a little bit?
Hey, Danny, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Good. I like that. It was encouraging. It was nice seeing that another team, especially in your division, was interested in your selection, especially at the quarterback position. But Grant, Danny, my question to you is, you know, I've heard a lot of vitriol when it's come to the Giants in the decision between Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And my question to you is, why? If you look at Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence in their first 50 starts, they're almost identical to one another, like almost identical. And actually, Daniel Jones is even leading in some statistical categories even more than Trevor Lawrence. They're both first-round selections, even though Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick. And if you look at the skill position players that Daniel Jones has had compared
been good.
To Trevor Lawrence,
yeah.
I don't believe, other than Saquon Barkley, I don't think there's anybody else on that Giants offense that would have started on the Jaguars offense.
I certainly agree with that. I mean, the Jaguars, they've tried, at least, to surround Lawrence with weaponry, be it Calvin Ridley, be it Christian Kirk they overpaid for. I mean, they've done everything they possibly could, whereas the Giants either didn't care or I don't know what they were doing each time. So I'll respectfully disagree. I mean, there's the one season that Jones turned in where he had 24 touchdowns and 12 picks as a rookie. That's the good season. That's a deceptive season. I can't remember the exact number, but quite literally, it's like 40% of his touchdowns came in two games. One of them was against Washington. One was against, I think, like a 1-17 Detroit team or something like that. But overall, he doesn't pass the eye test to me as a passer. Doesn't pass the eye test as anybody that's any good. Now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, JaVale, because you know how I feel in general about surrounding young quarterbacks with all the weaponry they can handle, and then some. Overkill should be the minimum. And the Giants have done the opposite. They've done a terrible job. I just know, because I see him play not against Washington. Against Washington, Hall of Famer. Not even joking. His career numbers against Washington are stupid. In fact, I'm going to pull him up. You're going to have to give me a second while I get here on Pro Football Focus, reference rather, and get into his career numbers against Washington. Here they are. Ready? He is, I believe, 5-1 as a quarterback, even though QB wins and losses are wrong. We know that. 70% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns over those five games. Add in some rushing yards, too. He has been a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback against Washington. A pile of garbage against almost every other team. Quite literally. He's been okay against Philadelphia, bad against Dallas, and pretty much bad against everybody else over the course of his career. I'm not even kidding you. Go look at him. In two games against the Rams, 55% completion percentage, 4 interceptions, no touchdowns. In a handful of games against, I'll just pick another team at random, the Cardinals. 63% completion percentage, 2 picks, 2 touchdowns. You know, it's that. Trevor Lawrence, and by the way, I've asked a question about Trevor Lawrence. I know I'm late here. I got we got other stuff to do. But I've asked the question about Trevor Lawrence. Like, are we sure? Are we sure that he's great? I'm not. He's turned in two very pedestrian seasons. One I give kind of a pass to. That was the Urban Meyer Shabingus. Well, there wasn't much there. But we really, if we're judging it fairly, I see your point. One really good season for Lawrence, and the other pretty pedestrian with more. So if the question is Trevor Lawrence really that good? That's something that I've asked, and I think it's fair. Matt Bonesteel of the Washington Post is coming up here in about 5 minutes. Stay with us. Plus, we got your chance to win Fuji's tickets at 5:25. We're going to play a little Does Ryan Know It? Stay with us here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.